Amen. God is so good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you this morning. It's good to be here. Amen? Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer this morning before we turn to the Word of God. Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And Lord, we're truly thankful, Lord. Lord, for the healing mercies, Lord, for Lord, just the fact that you never leave us, Lord, that you're right here with us, Lord, that you can be touched, Lord. Lord, this morning we just want to commit our hearts to you, Lord, and we just desire that you would speak to us, Father. Lord, when you saw the woman at the well, Lord, you told her that you are ushering in a day when the Father, who is seeking such to worship him in spirit and in truth, that he would be worshipped that way. So, Lord, that's why we've come this morning, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Lord, in spirit, because we have life. We have eternal life. We have your life. Lord, it's a new life that's bubbling up, Lord. Like a great fountain, oh God. And in truth, Lord, because you've unveiled your word to us, Lord. You've opened our eyes, Lord. You've given us a vision, Lord, an ability to see, Lord. You've given us revelation of your word this morning. Lord, it's all because of your grace, and it's because you've given those things to us, Lord. But we worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Lord, putting on display the gifts that you've given to us and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, God, so much darkness in the land, but Lord, we have light. Thank you, Lord. We know who we are. We know where we've come from and we know where we're going. Lord, and it's because your grace to reveal it to us. Oh, how we love you, Lord. Lord, won't you just come, Lord, and just unveil your word a little bit further to us this morning and speak to our hearts, Lord. We need our daily bread today, Lord. And we need, Lord, something to get us through for tomorrow and the next day, Father. And we're looking to you, Lord, for all things. Thank you, Father, for the testimonies. Thank you for the praise report. Thank you for lifting our brother Alvaro up, Lord. And thank you for lifting our sister Angela up, Lord. And so many others across the land, Lord. As the prayer requests pour in, the testimonies pour out. And Lord, we're so grateful for that, Father. And we love you so much. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you, musicians. Thank you. I have you standing if you'd like to turn with me to the Word of God this morning. I'd like to read a chapter of Scripture this morning and just have a simple thought here of this picture here in the Old Testament. Many times been preached on, no doubt, but we trust that God has something for us in it this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do you love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Numbers chapter 13. And we're going to read this whole chapter here, if you just bear with me. It's only 33 verses. Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Now that's a pretty powerful statement right there. I give. If God gives you something,
amen.
Amen. And he's spoken it and says, I give this to you. There's such rest in that. Amen. I give unto the children of Israel. Now they had this promise way back with Abraham, but he's reaffirming it here through Moses. To every of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names. This is a test to see how I pronounce names. These were their names of the tribe of Reuben: Shammua, the son of Zakur; the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun; of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu; of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi. You might wonder why I'm reading all these names, because these are witnesses. And their names are written there for a purpose. Amen? Of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi; of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali; of the tribe of Asher, Sethur, the son of Michael; the tribe of Naphtali, Naphbi, the son of Vos. I don't know how you say that. If it's Vofsi, I guess. All right. The tribe of Gad, Guel, the son of Machai. And these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. Their names are in the record of God. Amen. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. So that's Joshua, right? Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, "Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is." They had not seen this land, right? See the land, look at it, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities there be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So that would have been my understanding about this time of year. About August was the first ripe grapes that would come on, and then they would have up to 3 harvests of the grapes. And so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men cometh from Hamath, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman and Shishai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt, and they came unto the brook Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two on a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. Had to take 2 men to pack it back. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and show them the fruits of the land. And they told them and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people that be strong..." So here's the but. God's word is true. Everything he told us about the land is true. But nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. All they had to do was say their names, right? They knew who they were talking about. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it." In other words, we're wasting time talking about all this. "For we are able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We are not able." One word. Added. Amen? Caleb was speaking God's word, and they added one word. Does sound familiar, doesn't it? We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature." And there, you think maybe they're exaggerating just a little bit? All the men are great stature? "And there we saw giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." And that's the end of the 13th chapter. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Amen. This morning, my subject would be the showdown at Kadesh. Amen. And this will be part one. Lord willing, we'll finish this part two here tonight. So we'll leave some things out here this morning. Because Lord willing, we will cover those tonight. So we know that these accounts in the Old Testament, and I thank God for them, they speak volumes to us. And they speak in spiritual symbols. Amen. To our situation here today, not only can we learn about how they reacted and how they treated God's word and how God related to them and all of those things in their personal lives, but it's the whole thing is a type and a shadow. Right. The whole thing tells us about us and our situation and where we are and the church and how that God has brought the church along. Amen. So we can learn so much by examining these people's lives. This nation of Israel had come to a place of a showdown. Amen. They had come to a point of decision. They had come to a point that was more important than any other stage in their journey. Because how they reacted and what they chose to do at this showdown, at this point of decision, was going to affect them and generations after them. It was going to affect all. There was 2 million people that came out of Egypt. Is that right? So this decision was a momentous decision that was going to affect hundreds of thousands, millions of people and generations after them. We have times in our lives like that. Amen. Where we come upon a situation or the road of our life brings us to a point where that the decision that we make, the choice that we make, the showdown that we come to, it's going to have implications beyond ourselves. Amen. Beyond that time, beyond that point in time, but it will ripple out and affect others. It will affect generations beyond us. It'll affect others that we know. It'll affect those in our church. It'll affect those in our families. Amen. Important decision points. Sometimes we recognize them as that, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have to look back and go, "Wow, look at what God did. I had no idea, man. I was just walking through life, right? Just praying for God's wisdom. And he led me to that point and he led me in that decision. And I look back and it was a momentous decision. And I had no clue what I was doing. I was just following the leadership of God." Amen. But he knows the gravity, the weight of those decisions. And you look back on those and you say, "Oh, thank God." Amen. Amen. Maybe sometimes you think, "Thank God I didn't know how important it was. I might have been really nervous and messed it up." Amen. But we can look back at those times. Amen. No doubt all of us. We know that there are times in the many points in the Bible we can see characters in the Bible. We can see that point in Jesus' life. Amen. Brother Branham said when he came into the Garden of Gethsemane, it was such a time for Jesus. Amen. All of his life and his ministry had culminated up to that point. Amen. He said, this is why the Son of Man has come. And he came up to that decision point. He said, a decision point. Yes, he had a choice in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a showdown between his will and the Father's will. There had to be a choice. He had to be able to choose. Why? Because Adam and Eve chose death. So there had to be a free will choice for life. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus came to a showdown at the Garden of Gethsemane. And look at the repercussions of that decision. Look at the repercussions of Eve's decision. Amen. When they came to a showdown in the garden, and there was two choices laid before them. The repercussions. We're still under the effects of that today. Amen. When Lucifer, he made his pitch. Right? In the garden, they had been given the word of God. They had been given the promise. But there has to be a choice. Amen. Amen. For you to be a free moral agent, you have to have a choice. That's why Jesus had to have a choice. He had a choice. Amen. Eve had a choice. To be a true, one of the greatest things that God has given us is as free moral agency, we have the ability to choose him.
Right.
But, and so he desires, he wants us to choose him out of our own free will. Is that right? But to be able to choose him, there has to be an alternative.
Amen.
Otherwise, there's no choice. There's only one choice, and that's not a choice, right? So there has to be an alternative presented for there to be a showdown. Amen? And that decision decides our eternal destination. Amen. The ability to choose. So it was this type that the tribe of Israel was fulfilling. Amen. They had come up to the doorstep of their promise. Right? The very doorstep. All they had to do was open the door and walk in. But they had to choose to open the door. Is that right? We mentioned a moment ago, God had promised this land to them. He had promised their father Abraham, Abraham, this land, I give it to you and to your descendants. Amen. He made many promises to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, that his descendants would be innumerable. And we know, and the Bible tells us that he is the father of the faith. So it's natural and it's spiritual. Amen. He was promised a natural land and natural descendants, but he was promised a spiritual land and spiritual descendants as well. Amen. And so they had received this promise given to Abraham. He handed it down to his son Isaac. Isaac, we're promised a land. God has given us this land. This is our land that he's promised us. Isaac hands it down to Jacob, who became Israel. Amen. Jacob, we've been promised a land. God came to your grandfather Abraham, and he promised this land. And so on, down through the generations, the tribes of Israel, 400 years in Egypt, slaves. Yet it was handed down generation after generation. God promised. God promised. God promised. Amen?
Yes.
The word was being spoken on human lips. God's very word. God promised. He promised us a land. He promised this land to us. It's ours. He gave it to us. He promised it to us. For generations in Egypt, they slaved under the taskmaster's whip, thinking maybe this will be the time. Maybe I will be the generation that gets to see the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we understand that there is a spiritual aspect to this promise as well. Amen. He is, Abraham is the father of the faith. And we are promised a land. We are promised a land of rest. A land flowing with milk and honey. A land that we possess. And it belongs to us. Amen. So knowing this, that for 400 plus years they had heard this word and they were holding to that promise. Now God comes and delivers them with a mighty hand. Moses comes and with miracles, signs, wonders, the power of God on display. He comes and he pulls them out of Egypt. Amen? He doesn't, you know, it's not a thing that's done in a corner. Right? It's not done in, you know, in private. All the nation of Egypt experiences the power of God. No one can deny what God had done. Those miracles and those signs and those mighty meetings, they were published all throughout the land. So much so that the nations in Canaan had heard about it. Amen. They were slaves with no choice. They couldn't choose where they lived. They couldn't choose what they did. Maybe they couldn't even choose who they married, right? Maybe they could if the Egyptians didn't care, but the Egyptians could always come and tell them, no, you're going to live here, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. We're going to kill you. Why? Just because we want to. They had no choices at all. They were slaves. You're going to work for me. You're going to do what I tell you. And you have no say in it. For generations, this is how they lived. They had no... We have a hard time relating to it, brother, sister, because we live in freedom. They didn't understand freedom. They had no experience. They had nothing to relate it to. All they knew was the taskmaster's whip. All they knew was their masters telling them when to eat, when to do this, what they could do. Amen. Think of it. No rights whatsoever. In this age, we make such a big deal, and rightly so, of our rights. And it's a wonderful gift that we've been given. They had no rights. But suddenly, Bible days were here again. Amen. And they marched out of Egypt suddenly free. It all changed. Amen? Suddenly they'd been given something. At the point when it seemed like God had abandoned them now, here he was on the scene. Amen? And it was, God was real again. All the things that they had heard from their fathers and their fathers' fathers and so on, now it was real. Amen. God was on the scene. And he was manifesting himself. He was leading them and guiding them and directing them. He was defeating enemies for them. He defeated the entire Egyptian army for them. And suddenly they knew without a shadow of a doubt, because they experienced the fact that God was real. It wasn't just a testimony anymore of days gone by. Now it was real and they were living it. They were experiencing it. They had evidence that God's word was real. Amen? So they come out of the slavery. They're rejoicing as the chains are broken. They're rejoicing as they see their taskmasters destroyed. Amen? They're dancing and they're making up new dances because of their experience. Because it's a new experience. Oh, hallelujah. It was power of God that was being unleashed.
Hallelujah.
And brother, sister, let me put it to you this way. Their daily bread was miracles.
Amen.
Amen? Their daily bread was miracles. Literally. Amen? As they feasted on the manna in the wilderness that miraculously came to them every day. But brother, sister, even with all of that, just bringing them out wasn't the purpose. God was fulfilling a promise. He had to bring them out, but it was to take them in. Amen. He had to bring them out first, but it wasn't just to bring them out so that they could wander around aimlessly in the wilderness. He brought them out to take them to their promise. Because even with all of that, that freedom that they had and God on display, they still were not where they belonged. Amen. We've been set free. We can be set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can have our chains loosed. Amen. We can be delivered from demonic oppression. We can be delivered, amen, from binding powers of Satan by the power of the blood of Christ.
Amen.
We can have all of that, miracles, delivering and deliverance and healing, amen, and still not go into the land. So they had all of that and free from sin. Amen. We know that crossing over the Red Sea, it's a type of being baptized and being saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But we know that Jesus said that when you cast out a demon, he said it's like casting out someone out of your house and cleaning it and sweeping it, the house clean. Amen. But if you don't fill the house, if the house is not occupied, that enemy will come back with seven of his buddies and he'll say, look, the house is all cleaned up. It's swept. Let's move back in. Amen. So he brought them out to take them in. Hallelujah. Just coming out means you're just in between. They were unsettled. They were wandering. They had no home. They were provided for, but not in the way that God ultimately wanted them to be.
Amen.
Amen? It was just provision for the journey to get somewhere.
Right.
Amen? Miracles? Yes. Provision? Yes. God with them? Yes. But leading them to a destination. And in fact, they were kind of going in circles. You look at the map and where they went around, and I mean, there's not much place for them to go. It's zigzag in circles. They weren't getting anywhere. Amen? But Jesus promised. He said, you shall receive power. You shall receive power from on high when this Holy Ghost is come upon you. Amen. In type, that's what they were missing. Amen. They were like a believer that had received Jesus but was still wandering under their own auspices. Where am I going? I'm not settled in the land. I haven't been born again. You talk about the fruit of the land and knowing a personal God, and I haven't experienced all of that.
Amen.
It's the power to live in the Spirit,
amen.
Brother Branham said.
Amen.
Amen? Abraham was promised a home. A homeland. It's a place of rest, the Bible says. Amen. A good land. A place where they could enjoy the fruits of their labor for many generations. A place where they were settled. That promised land types us being born again by the Spirit of God. Amen. But it also types the millennial kingdom. Now, many scholars through the years have typed it towards to heaven, right? But our prophet straightened that out and said, no, it can't be because there's still battles in the land. In heaven, there won't be. But in the millennium, there is still an element of sin remaining. It's being ruled over, right? It's being held in check to be loosed again. But we're ruling and reigning with Christ. Amen. Is that right? And so he said it's a type of the millennial kingdom. Amen. That's where we're heading next. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he said it's also a type of the believer moving into their spiritual land. You dwelling in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He said that that promised land is God's promise to the church to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. To live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not live in your own power, but live in His power. Amen. Amen. That's what the promised land means to you and I this morning. The power to live by God's Spirit. Because, brother, sister, when you're leaning on Him, it's settled. Yes. Amen. You take His yoke, it's easy. Amen. Right. Amen. If you're trying to accomplish it in the flesh, you're unsettled. You don't know where are we going? What are we doing? Is that right?
Right.
Hallelujah. So all of this was waiting for them as they journeyed. That's what they were heading towards. And that was their destination. But brother, sister, not a single one of them had ever seen it. They were moving towards something they had never laid eyes on. They didn't know if there was going to be unicorns there, right? They didn't know. They had been slaves in Egypt. They just didn't know. They just knew they had that word promise that God had given them a land.
Amen.
And that God had said it was good. I'm sure there were stories and things, you know, news travels and things like that. But they weren't eyewitnesses. Amen? They hadn't seen it. Not even Moses had seen it.
Right?
So they're walking by faith. Faith in the word that they've received. That's been given to them by their forefathers. So they come and they've been going through the different tests and different things in the wilderness. And they arrive at the border.
Right.
They come to the Jordan River that borders the land. And the last thing to do is to cross the Jordan River. And the Jordan River in the Bible types and symbolizes death. Amen. It symbolizes a passing over from one to the other. And that's really all that death is. We say someone passes. All you're doing is moving from here to there.
Oh.
All it is a cab service. A taxi. Amen. A transportation. Amen. Everything is a tool in God's hand, and death is just His chauffeur.
Yes.
To take you from here to there.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a comfort. Amen.
Amen.
Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? It's simply crossing that river from one place to the other.
Amen.
Amen. For a Christian, there is no power in death. But the Jordan types death, and it types dying to self. Amen? Because to be born again, you've got to die.
Right.
Hallelujah. And they had to die to the old ideas of Egypt. They had to die to the mentality of slaves. They had to die to everything that they knew back in Egypt and the wilderness. They had to leave that behind. And once they crossed over, that was it. There was a finality to it. Amen. There was no going back once you crossed. Hallelujah. Oh, that's our testimony this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no going back to that old life. Amen. That old man is dead. I've left him behind. I've gone and crossed Jordan. I'm in the land of promise. Amen. By the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
leaving the old one behind, dying and being birthed anew. But they had come up to that river. They hadn't crossed it. Amen. So they come to the border. And Brother Branham talks a lot about borderline believers. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about those that aren't sure. They aren't sure where they belong. They're hanging out on the border. And they don't know which place they belong. Hallelujah. They're trying to have it both ways. So they've come to the Jordan. The pillar of fire has led them there. They didn't just wander around and all of a sudden, whoa, there's the Jordan. Right? The Lord led them there. He was directing their path. Oh, hallelujah. I still remember how he directed my path. Amen. He pulled me and he moved me by his word and the preaching of his word. And he moved me toward that land. Hallelujah. Amen. Through the preaching of his word, he led me right to that Jordan River and said, son, you want to cross? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm waiting for you on the other side with a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the pillar of fire led them right up to that borderland, but they were not sure. So they stopped there. They knew God was real. They had evidence that he was real. Amen. Nobody could doubt that. Jehovah is real. Amen. They were witnesses, but they hadn't seen the land. They wanted to know more about it. So so God told Moses, send some spies. Let's get some witnesses. God always has a witness. Is that right? Every generation, Brother Branham said, in every age, in every generation, God has his witnesses on the scene. He has those that will tell of the goodness of the land. So they said, we want to hear the testimony of the witnesses. We know God is real, but as far as this promise, we have not seen. So the Lord instructs Moses, send out some spies. The people chose, you know, of the princes of the land, they were listed there in the scripture. They were princes, they were men that were well thought of. They were leaders. They were those with influence. They were those that had an innate ability or a gift in their life to be able to convince and sway people. Amen? They were leaders. Leaders of men. Let me just segue here just for a moment. If you've been given that type of gift, use it for God. Amen. That's a powerful, powerful gift to be able to influence others. Amen. To be able to speak and to lead others toward Christ. So God instructs Moses, send them out. And he told him to check out the land and check out the inhabitants. Right? Two things. Let us know what the land looks like, whether it be good, whether check out the water and the air and the land, the fertility of it, the fruits of it. What's it like? Is there wood there? Are there resources? Tell us about what God has given to us. Amen? And look at the inhabitants. Let us know who's there and what they're up to. And depending on which side of it you are looking at it from, tell us about the cities that we're going to inherit. Tell us about the great things that they've built for us. Amen? Or you could say, tell us about the great fortresses that we have to overcome. Or the great fortresses that they've built for us. See, it all depends on your point of view. But look, check out the inhabitants and come back and tell us what you see. Amen? They were looking for some witnesses. They wanted someone to put eyes on the promise and tell them, somebody who's experienced it, and come back and tell us about it.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes that's what God is looking for. A witness. Amen. Can I get a witness of what God has done for me? Amen. What an honor to be chosen for this great task. Out of all the 2 million people, these men were selected for this great honor to be the first to lay eyes on the promised land. Amen. They would be the first to see God's promise come to life before their very eyes. Amen. Now, they were not to go in and take possession of it, but they were to go in and look at it, to see it and experience, and to bring back some evidence. Amen. Amen. This morning, here among us, we have those that are living in this land. Here in this building, there are people here living in that land right now. If you haven't crossed over, just ask them.
Right.
Ask them to tell you about it.
Right.
Brother, sister, tell me about it. Tell me what God has done for you. Right. Tell me about how you got born again. Tell me about how the Holy Ghost came into your life.
Yeah.
Amen. Tell me about how you crossed over Jordan. How He speaks to you. How good He is. Tell me about the land. Tell me about the fruits.
Right.
Amen. Amen. But sometimes our witness is just about the battle. Sometimes we're living in the land and all we're telling others about is, well, there's a giant over here that I'm dealing with this week. And there's this over there. And I got to go fight this fortress on this. And the people on the other side are saying, and why would I want to go over there again? Instead of telling them about the victories. Telling them about the fruits. Oh yeah, there's a few battles that I fight, but guess what? God is with me through every single one. Amen. And He slew this giant over here. And He defeated that enemy over there. And now I have possession of this great vineyard over here. God is good and the land is good. Come on over. Come on in. But instead, we find ourselves testifying of the giants. So we're in a little different position here this morning. We have some here that have crossed over, some that have not crossed over. Right? But here in Israel, they just had some go and come back. Right? Amen. These men went to check it out and get a taste. And they came back, and can you imagine? They were gone for 40 days. Can you imagine the people waiting for those 40 days? Brother Branham said that at one point, he said that he is waiting for the coming of the Lord like a child at Christmas. Right? Such anticipation. Oh, wait, we don't do Christmas. So let's see, how do we... Just kidding. But it's someone who's in anticipation.
Sure.
They know that there's some goodness coming their way.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know what it is. It's all wrapped up and I can't see it. But man, there's goodness coming my way. Child at Christmas isn't expecting coal. Right? They're expecting that there's going to be some gifts coming their way. That's why they're excited.
Amen.
Amen. They're looking for something good
right.
is going to happen. Something good is in store.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, can't we be that way when we come into church, brother, sister?
Amen.
Amen. Just feeling like, I know that God's got something for me. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's all wrapped up and I can't see it right now, but that just makes me anticipate it more. Amen. Something good is coming. Hallelujah. So they're waiting. They're in anticipation. They're hanging out. How long has it been? It's only been one day. Well, man, I wonder what it's like. We've been walking around this wilderness for all this time. We've been down in Egypt anticipating this day. Can't they hurry up? Anticipating. God said it was a land of milk and honey. What does that mean? Amen. All they knew was Egypt and the wilderness. What does it mean, milk and honey? We never experienced that in Egypt. I guess that sounds good to me. Hallelujah. Ever think about, you know, your new body? That's how I think. What's that going to be like? I don't know, man, but it sounds good. Amen. I never experienced, you know, I get a little taste of it now and then. When the Spirit falls, amen. But I know that I really don't get it. Amen. I'm wondering, but I know it's going to be good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So they're waiting the 40 days. They're at the border. They're waiting for the testimony. And all they will know of the land is what's told to them. Those men have such power in their hands as the witnesses of God. All the people will know is what they tell them. Think about that. There's a lot riding on your testimony. The only Christ that people will know is the one that you live before them. Your testimony for Christ has souls riding on it. Amen. You represent Him, the prophet said. Is that right? And so they waited for these men. The people, we know, we've heard, but we want to talk to somebody who's seen it. We want to taste it. There's a rumor going around that they're going to bring back some things from the land. Oh, I can't. I just want to see it. I want to hold it. I want to touch it. I want to taste of the land. Amen. So they waited and they waited and they waited for 40 days. The generation of people that had gone before, no doubt, were on their minds. Remember grandfather, great grandfather. Remember when he was just getting ready to pass off the scene and he told us, be faithful. God's going to take us out of Egypt one day. He's going to lead us to a promised land. And Jehovah's promised to lead us into this place. Remember, grandfather. Remember the things, how he longed. Grandma, how she used to sit and tell us stories. Amen. From about Abraham and Isaac and how God is someday going to take us into our own land. Think of it, our own land. We can have our own homes, our own houses. Oh, how they longed for it. And here we are, right on the very border. And just any day now, those witnesses are going to come. And they're going to bring fruit back from it. They're going to tell us about it. At the very edge of the promise. Oh, hallelujah. We can kind of relate to that in this hour, can't we? Sometimes it just feels like, brother, sister, we're right there on the edge, just waiting for the coming of the Lord. Amen. And the generations that have gone before us of the church, they've spoke of it. Even Paul said, we, which are alive and remain, thinking that his generation was going to be the one, just any day now, the Lord's coming. And each one going by way of the grave, but looking for it and saying, he's coming, be ready, he's coming. And brother, sister, we know as time is shaping up and things, the cup of the iniquity of the land here is getting full. We know the time is at hand. We're walking up to the very edge of the coming of the Lord. So finally the spies return. And they begin to give their report. And with that we'll close. No, I'm kidding. We just got to the showdown. We're just getting to the showdown. As I mentioned before, to be truly free, to be truly free moral agents, to be truly free to love God in the way that he wants to be loved, we have to be able to choose. Right? So now thus far they haven't been given a choice. Right? They've only been given God's word to believe. But now Satan is going to get his shot on God's word. So the spies return. They begin to give their report. The same choice that was presented to Eve, where one word was changed. Surely God will not. Surely we can not. Most of the spies admitted the land was good, and that's how they started. God's word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What God said, it's true. But there are giants, and there are plagues, and there are fortresses, and there are this, and there are that. And they begin to make their case. Yes, the land is there. Yes, the land is good. All that God said is true about it. He just left out all this other stuff. He didn't tell us about the trials that we would have to go through. I didn't know when I started out as a Christian I was going to have to go through this. He didn't tell me that. Yeah, and if he told you, you would have just ran the other direction. He didn't tell me there'd be a giant on my land. Most of the spies admitted the land was good, but it had lots of trials and they couldn't overcome them, was their testimony. Now, nobody's denying that there's giants. Even Joshua and Caleb aren't saying, la la la, I didn't see any giants. What are you guys talking about? That's not what they said. Right? That's what, you know, sometimes we got to watch and be careful. You know, we say, I'm not sick. I'm not this. I'm not that. Like this thing with the coronavirus, right? There are people, this is a good example. There are people that say, well, bless God, we're the bride. We're not going to get sick. Well, really? That promise is where? Amen? Joshua and Caleb didn't go around, you know, la, 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 la. There's no giants in the land. We're not going to have to fight. They didn't say that. What they said was, it's ours. We can surely take it. God will be with us. He promised us. He didn't promise we wouldn't fight. He promised we would overcome. Amen. It's a travesty what's happening in our ranks, where people are tying somebody's spirituality to whether or not they get a virus. Well, extend that to every virus then. You get the common cold, suddenly you're not bride? Come on. Amen. God promised healing. He promised that he would be with us and help us overcome. Amen, Brother Alvaro. The minority were testifying according to the promise. They weren't looking at the circumstances. They were looking at the promise. But they were in the minority. The small minority. Is that right? Doesn't it seem like Satan's voice is always louder? Because he has access to our flesh. And so his voice is always the loudest. It's blaring. Look, symptoms, 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 symptoms. Giants this, trials that. Hardship this. Amen? But God's word is a still small voice. But it's the truth. But they were perverting and watering down the word. They were saying, oh yes, God said this, but let's just water it down a little bit. Let's just put a little wet blanket on it. Amen? Let's not get too fanatical. Amen? Let's not get, you know, too carried away. Just a little wet blanket. You see, they had come to a showdown. Amen. Whose report do you believe? That's the showdown. That's the decision. They call it an inflection point. A point where everything will change. From then on. Things had been the same, going the same, going the same, going the same. Suddenly they're at a point. And from then on it won't be the same. You'll either live or you'll die. And that's how important that is. Amen? Whose report would they believe? Whose report will you believe? Whose testimony will you receive? Are you going to cross over? Or are you going to accept the lies of the enemy? Are you going to let those things keep you from your promise? Let's read some quotes here this morning. I've got several that I'd like to read to you. The first one is letting off the pressure. Brother Branham says, "Now remember, they did not know whether that land existed or not. They only journeyed by faith to that promised land. They didn't know where it was at. The pillar of fire led them to it. This prophet walking and watching the pillar of fire, and they followed it till they got to the promised land. And Joshua crossed Jordan, went over into the promised land, and brought back evidence that the land was just exactly what God had promised them. And the people tasted of the grapes. A bunch of grapes that they'd taken two men to pack. It was just exactly according to God's promise." It's a good thing there were two witnesses of the truth, because it took two of them to pack the evidence back. It was just exactly according to God's promise. They had it. They had it. They had it in their possession. We have witnesses here this morning that have experienced the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have experienced the goodness of the land. Amen? We have it this morning. The land was just across the Jordan. He says, well, sure, they never saw it. They know there'd never been nobody over there, but God had made a promise. And God always keeps his promise. That was bringing men from slavery up to where he could have his own home. My, what a change. Amen? Questions and answers. Now Moses said to the 10 tribes, he said, send a man out of each tribe to represent each tribe to go spy out the land and see what kind of a condition it was. Now if that isn't exactly up to your place this morning where you come, today the church has come through justification, through Luther, sanctification through the Methodists, and now up to the time of the promise. The promise is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is promised all through the Old Testament and New too. See? The promise, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Peter said that on the day of Pentecost. That is the promise. Amen. The promised land is to live in this land of Holy Spirit. Amen. That's our promise this morning. He says that's God's promise for the church, is to live in the power of the Spirit. How many wants to live in the power of the Spirit? Amen. Amen? Of course we do. It's another world. Hallelujah. It's another land. You have to come out of the conditions that you've been in to come out to live in this promised land, to receive the promise. Remember the promise, you shall receive power from on high. After this, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Right? Those are Jesus' words. And Peter said that the promise that was made all down through the New Testament, old and new, you find promising on up to that day of Pentecost. And then then they entered into the promise. Amen. Amen. Just a couple more here. It says, so they got up there, and now always, when you come to bring back an evidence, the enemy lays in the road. Why? Because that is a decision point. When you have evidence or when you testify, the enemy has to come against it. Because the person has to choose. Amen. Brother Branham likened our enemy to a prosecuting attorney. Right? There has to be two sides. That's the reason we have an enemy. He has to be prosecuting. There has to be another side.
Sure.
Amen? Yeah. To be able to choose God, you have to be able to choose something else.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So when you come back as bring back an evidence, there the enemy lays in the road. When some of them fellows looked over and seen those great giants of Canaan, oh my, they said, we can't do it. But they brought back the evidence that the land was there. They had not been falsely led. God was proving to them His word. Even before they entered in the land. Can't you see today, if you'll drive 1,000 miles to hear the word and watch it being proved and confirmed, it's the evidence that there's a great land. You can see a shadow of a man laying, dying with cancer, be made whole. And we can see the words of God that He spoke happening today, being confirmed. It's the evidence that He keeps His word.
Yes.
Brother, sister, we've got a mountain of evidence.
Yes.
Amen. We know that God keeps His word. Is that right?
Yes.
There's a great land, He says. If my life is just about gone and God comes down and spares it again, that shows there's an evidence of an eternal life. Where you once wouldn't have darkened the door of a church, now you stand in line to get in it. Hallelujah. It's an evidence. God keeps His word and proves it to you that it's true. Hallelujah. Amen. We were once buried in sin and shame and darkness, but something changed. God came on the scene and changed us. Amen. He changed you. He changed me. And we are in evidence that there is a land.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I think I just have one more, but it's a little bit of a long one. If you bear with me here this morning. He says, now, one day stomping down out of the wilderness, come a prophet with a pillar of fire over him, guiding him. He performed miracles and so forth and told them that there was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. Nobody'd been there, none of them. They had just heard of it. Faith cometh by hearing. So away they went with this prophet through the wilderness. And they came to a place called Kadesh Barnea. That was once the judgment seat of the world. The showdown was at the judgment seat. The place where you are the judge. And you can judge whether God's word is true or not. Amen. And there when Israel camped, and there was where it was judged, the sin, and Joshua, the great warrior, and the word Joshua means Jehovah Savior. Now, we know that they rejected it, right? And that became judgment. Their unbelief, their sin was judged. That's what he was talking about, right? He says, this great warrior crossed over Jordan. None of them had ever been there before, crossed the Jordan to the promised land, came back with the evidence that it was a good land and it was true. What was he doing? Confirming God's word, see, showing that what God had promised, God had done. The covenant is unconditional. God made 3 covenants, one with Adam, and Adam broke it, another with Noah, and it got broke. But when God made the covenant with Abraham, it was not, if you will, he said, I have.
Yeah.
God's unconditional covenant that he made with Abraham and his seed. And we become his seed when we are dead in Christ, right? We know that the scripture says in the New Testament, he is the father of the faith, spiritual seed of Abraham. Is that right? Now notice, in this great time when he brought back the evidence, Israel moved over into the land, and there they didn't have to be under slaves. They could have their own gardens, raise their children, raise their churches and everything. But finally, old age began to catch up with them, and after a while in that lovely promised land, there were tombstones on the hillsides everywhere. Then down from glory, so he's basically showing us that was a type. Right? They went into the land, but they still were under the curse of sin, and they still had to die and all those things. It was a type and a shadow of going into the promised land, but it actually wasn't the real fulfillment. We understand. He says, but then down from glory came the greatest of all warriors, another Jehovah Savior, Jesus, the Son of God. And he said that there is a life after death where no tombstones and graveyards. Amen. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it wasn't so, I would have told you. And I'll go to prepare a place for you. Then I'll come again to receive you unto myself. He came to save the dying human race. He came to his Kadesh Barnea at Calvary. Hallelujah. Amen. Judgment, where not only the judgment seat of the world, but he was judged for the world. There he bore the iniquity and the sins of us all at Calvary. Amen. And he died until the sun and the moon and the stars wouldn't shine, and he crossed over Jordan that we call Jordan death. But on the third day he rose again, bringing back the evidence like Joshua did. The land is there. Hallelujah. I'm he that was dead and is alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and hell, and he is not dead, he is risen. Then we have an earnest of our inheritance. He told the church, go up there to Pentecost, up 10 days up at Jerusalem, and wait there so long. I'm going to send you the earnest of this great land. Amen. You see, it's typing that land. Amen. And we confess our sins, and we die to ourselves, and we rise with him, and we got the evidence. And look where we were. Look where we are. Amen. See, we were once down there. Now we're up here, already holding the evidence that we are dead and buried in Christ, raised in the resurrection, sitting tonight with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh my. Amen. That's the land that he has promised us. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He says, oh my, every devil, every sickness, every disease, everything is conquered in by him. He's that mighty conqueror. You don't have to conquer anymore. It's already conquered. We're already dead. We're already risen. Amen. We're already raised from the dead. How many feels that way tonight? Just look here, already raised from the dead. You once dead in doubt, trespasses, you doubted the word, and you doubted it to be true. But now you're alive. I'll have that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just stand this morning. We're going to continue this thought a little bit tonight. But just for the last few minutes, let's meditate on this just a little deeper. That's all right. Jesus crossed Jordan, death. And he proved the resurrection. By resurrecting, he came back and brought the first fruits. And he said, look, I who was once dead, now I'm alive. He said he had the keys of hell and death. He had defeated death. Paul said he had pulled the sting out of death. Amen. He gave the evidence that we can see for ourselves. There's the empty tomb. Amen. Amen? Amen? The evidence that he had crossed over and come back with, that there's a land and it's promised to you and I. Amen. But we got to decide for ourselves. Amen? Will we take our way with the Lord's despised few? Amen? Will we stay with the minority that says God's word is true and I'm going into that promised land? I don't care what I have to do, how I have to die, what I have to face, but I'm going through. Amen. Amen? In this hour, sometimes that Holy Ghost experience, it's derided. It's made fun of. It's cast off in terms like that's baby stuff. Amen? Those are just baby believers. Well, if you call getting into the land being a baby, right? Don't you need to get into the land? Yes. Brother Branham said that they called them fanatics, holy rollers, right? All these terms that we're familiar with. But basically, it's taking the way that God has laid out for you. Amen. Receiving his word, no matter what anybody else says. The benefits of this Holy Spirit are promised to you today. Amen. They're promised to me today, right now, for this service, yes. For this day. Amen. Today is the day, amen? We can't stand on the border with one foot in the wilderness and one foot in the promised land. Amen? The Jordan isn't that narrow. You have to cross through.
Amen.
The borderline believer will just hang around the edge. Say, well, there's the land right over there. But they won't cross over. They won't cast their life into the hands of Jesus. When you cross over Jordan, that's what you're saying. I think it's been likened, you know, to Columbus when they sailed to the New World and they burned their boats when they got there. Right? Burn all your bridges, burn all your boats, whatever. Cross the river, don't go back. We're not going back. But crossing over it's a finality. There's a finality to it. Amen. It's a death. It's a death to yourself. But this morning, if you haven't crossed over, it's for you. The promise still stands this morning. God is still calling. There's still grace. There's still blood on the mercy seat this morning. Amen. There is still an opportunity to come and say, Lord, I know that this world is falling apart. I know time is getting short. But Lord, I want to be in that land. I know there's going to be battles to fight once I get there. But I might as well fight from my own land. You still got to fight battles in the wilderness. Why not fight for your land? Fight on over land that belongs to you. Amen. We go through trials, and maybe that's abstract, right? So let me break that down a little bit. What does that mean? We don't go through trials in a frustrated way.
That's right.
People that don't have the assurance of being born again, of an experience with God, they go through trials, and what's it all about? Why am I going through this? They say things like karma and chance, right? And I go through this, and I go through that, and I don't know why, but we are not as the world. We don't suffer as the world. We go through the same types of things, but we're on our land, and what that means is we know where we stand. We know who's coming against us. We know that the battles that we fight are not by accident. We know who's behind it, but we also know it's for our good and that it's working out peaceable fruit in our lives. It's working out character in our lives. Amen. And it's for a reason. Why? We're clearing the land. We're clearing the land. We're clearing the flesh. Amen. We're clearing the flesh out so that Christ can shine through us. Amen. It's different when you're fighting on your own territory. Amen? I've never gone to war, thank God, but I imagine that it's got to be different. Somebody who goes overseas and fights for somebody else's country rather than fighting for your own country. Somebody invades and you're fighting on your land. These are our homes. Get off of our land. That's got to be a lot different than, oh, well, let's go liberate and help these people and we're being good and whatever and helping them. No, this is mine. You don't belong here. These are invaders. So if you haven't crossed over this morning, we invite you. Amen. We invite you to do that. There's healing for you this morning. There's deliverance for you this morning. Amen. There's a land for you to possess. But there's a showdown that has to take place. I remember when I came to that showdown myself. Amen. I had to die out. I had to get a hold of the altar of God, so to speak. Amen. And die out to myself. It was a showdown. It was hard. I won't, you know, sugarcoat it. It's hard to die. But you got to cross over. But brother, sister, we're not going it alone. Jesus said that He would be with you. Amen. You say, well, not many people are crossing over. I don't see, you know, there's not a great throng. It's not easy to just go with the crowd. No, there's no crowd to go with. Amen. It's you and Jesus. Amen. But don't wait. Amen. He's calling this morning. Hallelujah. We're not slaves any longer. We've been delivered for something. God has set us free from the taskmasters, but He wants us to come into the land that He's provided for us. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father. how we love you so much this morning. Lord, we thank you for this simple little illustration, Lord, that your word lays out for us. Just a simple picture, Lord, but it's so powerful. That when we hear your voice calling, we hear the voice through your word, through the ministry, through a testimony, through a witness that says, come on, this land is good. When we hear that, Lord, we know that that's you drawing and calling us. Say, my child, you weren't meant to wander in this wilderness. Think, should I go back to the world? Should I come to church? Should I do this? Should I do that? I don't know where I belong. Where they belong is in their land. Lord, I pray that you would just draw those hearts by your Spirit this morning. Lord, I pray that you would just bless those wandering souls this morning. Lord, and lead them across that Jordan of death to self, Lord. Surrender. Surrender themselves completely to you, Lord. Never going back. Lord, may they judge your word. May they judge you faithful this morning, who's made this promise. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, and I pray for those that many, no doubt, this morning that have crossed over, Lord, maybe been dwelling in this land for many years. Lord, I'm thankful that I'm one of them. But Lord, even then, Lord, we face battles, Lord. We face trials and temptations. We face things, Lord. We're not out of the battle yet. Lord, sometimes we get weary in the battle. Sometimes we get discouraged in the battle, Lord. Lord, there is grace, Lord. You're always there with us. I pray that you would just encourage those, my brothers and sisters, Lord, this morning, that this is our land. We are dwelling in heavenly places with you. Everything is on time. Everything is according to plan. We're walking with you in an Enoch walk, Lord. Bless my brothers and sisters, Lord. May this word just stir up their hearts, I pray, Lord. Encourage us, Lord. How we thank you, Father. How we thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us, Lord, to be faithful witnesses, Lord. To cry out to those that are hanging on at the border. Saying, come on. Don't quit. Don't give up. Cross over. Surrender to him this morning. Surrender completely. They might have been hanging out at the borderlands all their life, sitting in a message pew, raised in church, coming to church every time there's service, yet sitting on the border, not crossing over. Maybe they never even heard a witness say, look, there's more, there's a land to inherit. A land to inhabit. May they cross over, Lord. May they receive that Holy Spirit baptism. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we know time is short, Lord. We want to be ready, Father. We want to be found doing, Lord, what you called us to do. Bless each one that's come here this morning, Lord. Bless our going out and our coming in. We thank you, Lord, that you're a mighty God this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we've been promised every victory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May you manifest it in your people, I pray this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just worship him. Testimony this morning.